All right, we are on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We are on 18a, and we are basically about a quarter way down. We're up to the words Amar Abai Avir Shlosha.
Okay. Oh, do you want to sit on my lap, or give me a pencil? Thank you for the pencil. It's gonna be very helpful. Are you joining us? You want to stand there? You can stand there. That's okay, sweetie. Okay. So basically, a lot of the ideas we're going to discuss tonight. There aren't going to be that much. There isn't going to be that much in way of new concepts. We're going to talk about lavud. In particular, we're going to talk about lavud in the middle of your sukkah, as opposed to by the wall, by the side of the sukkah. And then we're also going to talk about Dofen Akuma again, very briefly. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what kind of fish you're allowed to eat. And then after that, we're going to talk again about lavud vis-a-vis the walls of one sukkah, and then ending off with good achis. Just a reminder, we had good asik, remember, which extends the wall upward, and good achis is the flip side, which extends it downward. Dorian just dropped her. She just slipped off herself, in case you're worried. All right, so here we go. Amar Abai. Avir Shlosha Basukah Gedola. So let's say you have an air gap of three tfachim. Well, we need to address that because we said an air gap of three tfachim or more passels the sukkah. So what can you do? You have two options. Umiato Bemba Kunim Bemba Shputin. You can either minimize that gap with reeds or with metal poles. So then Havi Miyut. So then that is a legitimate form of a miyut. So basukah kitana, however, when it comes to a small sukkah, well, small sukkah meaning we need the minimum of 7x7, but kanam havi miyat, b'shpudin lo havi miyat. Since the goal is we need enough area that is actually 7x7 of kosher schach, it doesn't help to put metal in there. The metal, when you're talking about a big sukkah, is helpful because you already have the sheer heksher sukkah alone. You already have that 7x7 somewhere in the sukkah already. You're just closing off an air gap that passels the sukkah. But when you have a small sukkah, and you first need to meet the initial threshold of 7x7, it's not just simply a matter of closing off the air gap. It's that you need to reach the threshold, minimum threshold of kosher schach, that you can have a baseline sukkah. So therefore, you could only use kosher schach to close off the air gap. Beforehand, the reason you can use the metal to close off some of the air gap is, first of all, the non-kosher schach you have up until four tefachim. Also, lav dafka, do you need to close up the entire air gap? You could just put a few poles, and once you don't have three contiguous tefachim of air gap, then again, you are fine. Okay, so far what we set up until now is nothing particularly new. This angle that we're about to see is going to be a bit novel. Until now, we've assumed that lavud can help us, whether it's with an air gap on the side of the sukkah. By the side, I mean where the wall and the schach meet. But we've always assumed, or I've assumed, that the same would apply in the middle of your sukkah when you have an air gap. However, that's not, even though I believe that is how we conclude, it wasn't always clear, at least, we have settled law at this point. Back in times of the Gemara, it wasn't so obvious. So there was a debate about this. Mahani Mili, this whole entire idea that you could just simply create lavud and you just put in a few poles here and there so that we don't have three contiguous tfachim of air. So that's min hatzad. Alo be'emtza, but in the middle of the sukkah, pligi baravach v'rabina. That's subject to machlokas. Chadamar yishlav be'emtza, v'chadamar einlav be'emtza. They debate whether you can apply lavud in the middle of the sukkah. So what is the basis to rule one way or the other? We're going to look at a precedent that supports one side, and then we're going to look at a precedent that supports the other side. My time at Demand Amr Yesh Lava Ba'emsa, according to Demand Amr, who says that Lavud is effective in the middle of the sukkah, where do we find this idea? So we have a Brisa that supports this. The Brisa is found, it's apparently quoted in Erevin as well, in the Tosefta and Erevin, in case you're wondering. That's actually important for the answer to know that it comes from Erevin. So, Detanya. Korah hayotzim kosel zev inu nagas b'kosel acher. So there's going to be two cases. Either, so I believe he's talking about a mavoi. And remember, for a mavoi, did I just raise my hand? How did that happen? That's kind of funny. I would raise my own hand to ask myself a question. What was that, Toby?
You're muted. You're muted, Toby, but it looks like you want to say something.
Could you please remind us what that means, Mavoy?
Yes, yes. So a Mavoy, as we were, is in Hilchos Erevin, so it's like an alleyway. A Mavoy, generally, you have a chatzer, you have different courtyards, and many times they'll lead to a central alley. Alleyway is a bad way to put it, because we think of an alley, think of like a thin little thing that doesn't lead to anything. But really, a Mavoy is a thoroughfare of sorts that leads to other smaller private properties. So the idea is that it's not Rishus HaRabim, it's not a public domain, because it's like off on the side. But at the same time, it is sort of public at the same time. So in order to remind people that you can't just easily carry, you won't easily carry from the Mavoy to Rishus HaRabim and vice versa, you have to put either a Korah or a Lechi. A Lechi would be some kind of pole or something on the side that would be vertical. Or what we're talking about here is a Korah, which is horizontal. And basically, you would create like a Tzuras HaPesach. The Mavoy already has two walls on each side. You put a Korah, you put a beam over it, and in that way, you realize, you can see that it is two distinct domains. Don't think to carry between the Mavoy and between the Rishus HaRabim. So here, it's talking about what happens if your Korah, your beam, is on top of one of the walls, and it doesn't quite make it. It's just short of making it onto the second wall. So there, it's fine because of Lavud. Also, the other case we're about to say is, what happens if you have two poles from each side and they just don't quite reach each other? Again, Lavud will work in such a case. Let's see it in the Gemara. So, v'chein shei koros achas yotza mekosel zeh, v'achas yotza mekosel achir v'ina nogos zo bezo. So, what we just described, you have two poles and they don't quite meet each other in the middle. How, as long as it's pachos mishlosha, if it's less than three tfachim, there's no need to bring another beam. However, if there's an air gap of more than three tefachim in between, then you need a new beam. What do we see from here? We see that Lavud can operate even in the middle. That the svara is that I would think on the side it works because basically it's already by the wall. You can see it's attached. So here we see that's as long as these two poles are within three tefachim, they're less than three tefachim from reaching each other, even though it's in the middle. It's in the middle of the Mavoy. It's on top of the Mavoy in the middle. Nonetheless, that would be okay. So this seems to be, this Tosefta, this Brisa from Erevin, appears to support the idea that Lavud works even in the middle. Now, the question we have to naturally ask is, V'idach, what about the other side? What's the other guy going to say? So Shani Koros Rabbanan, he says this is not a good basis for extrapolation, because the whole din of Mavoy and all these things you need to do to fix it up to use it on Shabbos is only rabbinically mandated. So okay, maybe the rabbis were a little bit more flexible when it came to rabbinical mandates. In fact, we see in areas in Erevin that they are. So, but it's not a good extrapolation to Sukkah, which we've seen many times. What makes Sukkah unique from all of our comparisons to Erevin every time we try doing this? Well, Sukkah is Deoraisa. We've tried this in the Gemara in the past. And because Deoraisa, maybe there's a higher threshold in order to make a Sukkah kosher, since it needs to be kosher on a Deoraisa level. So, okay, that's how the other side would reckon with that Braisa. Now, well, let me pause. Any questions? Anything I can clarify on that? We got more or less what a Mavoy is for our purposes. Yeah? Okay. So next, now we're going to try to cite a proof to support the other side. My time at demand to Omer ain't love of Emsa. What's the basis? Why would I think to say that love does not work in the middle? So now we're going to do Hilchos Tumah. We've actually had this case a little bit before. Not precisely this case, I believe, but something similar. We're going to talk about a case in which basically so we're probably familiar with the notion of tamei mace, that when you have a cadaver or a piece of one that's under one roof, anything else be shum tumas ohel, it's under the same tent, it doesn't have to literally be a tent, it's under the same roof, so then anything else that's in that room will contract tuma as well, And of course, this most iconically comes up when dealing with the issue of Kohanim in medical and hospital settings. So I'm sure we've heard of this before. But the interesting factor is what happens when there's a skylight or some kind of hole in the roof. So you're not completely covered. So what do we make of it? Now, the Gemara is only going to cite part of this Mishnah. It's basically, there's not going to be a difference. The Gemara is going to give two cases, but it's the same thing in both cases. Whether the hole is a tefach big or less than a tefach big. For other dinim, there's a distinction, but the Gemara is just going to cite both cases. The purpose here is to show that it's considered even a tefach or even less than a tefach is going to be a considerable enough of a hole to have halachic ramifications when it comes to the laws of Tumah and Tahara. And everything we're talking about is less than three tefachim, yet we don't consider to be enclosed for Tumah purposes. That's going to be the question, okay? Now let's see it inside. So my time, demand to Amar in love of Emsad, it's not. Aruba Shebebais. If you have a skylight or some kind of hole in the roof, Uba Poseach Tefach, and so it's a Tefach big. So Tumah Babayis, if there is Tumah, that meaning there's a, you know, a cadaver that's there, Kulo Tame. So then everything is Tame. However, Masha Kineged Aruba Tahor, but anything that is under that skylight is not considered to be under the roof because it's literally not under the roof. It's in the eye of the storm, if you want to think of it that way, like the eye of the hurricane. So therefore, it does not contract any Tumah. And so Tumah Kineged Aruba, and let's say the cadaver actually is under that skylight, then Kol Habayis Kulo Tahor. So, right, so then the entire house is Tahor because since the cadaver is under the sky, its Tumah does not spread to the rest of the building, the rest of the room that it's in. Okay. It's the same idea twice. I'll take your Judd that you're weighing on a question, right? Yeah. Okay. Finish this Brisa because it's essentially the same idea again. Where was I? Or Ein Baruba. Ein Baruba Posei HaTefach. Let's say there's less than a Tefach. Tumah Babayis. So if there's Tumah that's in the house, meaning not under the skylight.
Oh, do you want some help getting the Play-Doh out? Okay. Sorry, we have a Play-Doh emergency here. All right. Here you go, sweetie. Enjoy. You want your Play-Doh? No? Oh, you want me to put the cap on? Yeah.
Sorry, Marissa's not feeling so well tonight, so I'm trying to manage both at the same time.
There you go. You want to put it back in? Okay. Thank you, everyone, for bearing with. Want to close? Should I close it? Okay, all done. Here it is. I need help? Okay. Okay.
Thank you for your patience, guys. All right, so where were we? We were if Tumah Kineged Aruba. Ein Baruba Posei HaTefach. Let's just start from there. Ein Baruba Posei HaTefach. If there is not a Tefach of space, Tumah Bias. So if the Tumah is under the roof, then Kineged Aruba Tahor. Anything that's under the skylight is Tahor. Tumah Kineged Aruba. If the Tumah is under the skylight, Kol HaBayis Kol Tahor, and then the entire house is Tahor. The point here, again, is that both cases are talking about less than a tefach, and nonetheless, it's an actual hole with halachic ramifications. Wait, what about Lovewood? Huh? It sounds like Lovewood doesn't exist when it's in middle of the roof. So that is a proof that we don't apply Lovewood. Otherwise, we would consider the entire roof to be enclosed, even though it's a tefach hole. And so, okay, those who hold that there is Lovewood in the middle of the roof, what are they going to say? V'idach, shani hilchos tumah dahachi gemir ilhu. All of this is like a Masorah that we have, halacha moshe mi-Sinai, and drushos that we have about tumah. Tumah is like its own unique area of halacha, and you can't just start making inferences from the laws of tumah to other areas of halacha. So that's an important point. Many times we see analogies in other areas of halacha, but we have to know that sometimes there are unique dinim, and we can't just say, well, because it works this way in Hilchos Tumah, means it has to work this way in Hilchos Sukkah as well. Okay, very good. Judd, you had a question.
My question was, when you say that whatever is under the skylight is Tahor, Are we talking about just a hole in the ceiling, or there's a physical, what our conventional skylight that we talk about in the modern times, where there's actually a solid piece of covering it, but it's just see-through?
I don't think it's anything too fancy. If you want to actually, what are we? I think I have a picture here in the back of my Masifta Gemara. So let me, if it helps visualize it a little bit, we're in Yud Chesam and Aleph, right? So this is the, I don't know if you can see it well. You see that, it's a bunch of pictures with different permutations, but you see that, that light, that beam of light coming down over there?
Yeah.
That's basically the picture.
But there's nothing solid above it. It's a hole.
Yeah, it's like, it's just a clear hole.
Clear hole, okay.
Yeah, that's what it appears to be. Okay. Very good. Going forward. Okay. We're done with Lavud for now. Now we're gonna return back to Dof and Akuma briefly. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai Bai Shen Nifchas, right? So a very similar kind of case of what we're talking about before. Let's say your ceiling, forget about a one tefach or less than tefach hole, let's say a huge swath of your ceiling just implodes. We've seen this case many times in the past. We love coming back to it. Usichik al gabav, shera. If you put schach where that new hole is, it is kosher. Amar lefanav Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Parish, Rabbi, you have to explain yourself. You can't just leave it at that. Is any size hole okay? So kach kirish abba, arba amos psula, pachs mi arba amos kshera. You have to, you know, fill in a little bit of the art scroll over here. You got to explain that it depends how much space you have between this new hole in your ceiling and the walls. If it's less than Dalet Amos, great. If it's Dalet Amos or more, you can't apply Dofen Akuma anymore. So all he's saying is, you know, when you teach the halacha, you have to make sure to actually explain the nuances of it. Otherwise, people could walk away with the wrong impression, think it's always mutter. So I tell us people, sometimes people ask me certain shilas, in which I have to figure out a unique heter if they have a very exciting circumstance. So I have to like tell them, by the way, there's like a number of factors that went into this. Don't just go to your buddy and say that's mutter to do X, Y, and Z, because they might not be aware of all the nuances that went and factors that went into making that decision. Okay. Going forward, now the next case has to do with the kashrus of fish. Now you might ask, my Indian Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, what does fish have to do with anything we just discussed? Well, how does this usually work when we bring in a random Gemara out of nowhere for no reason?
It's the person who said it.
Very good, Toby. It's the same rabbi, that's why. And it's the same dynamic. Right, so we have the same dynamic playing again. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai. Avroma Sharia. It's a fish. I don't know what kind of fish. I don't know if maybe Art Scroll tells you what kind of fish. Do they tell you what kind of fish it is? Not that it's so important. Okay. The point is, it's a fish and it's okay to eat.
Well, apparently, yeah, it's kosher. That's all the kind, yes, of
stuff. Well, that much I got from the Gemara. Avroma Sharia. So this Avroma fish, Avrumi, right? It sounds like a guy's name, Avrumi. So Avroma Sharia. So you're allowed to eat Avroma. Amar lefanareishma bariosi, Rabbi Parsh. You got to explain. You know, it's not so pushy that this fish is kosher. It's only kosher in certain circumstances. So kachamar abba shelmak, kachamar abba shelmakum ploni asura shelmakum ploni mutaris. Well, it depends where you catch this fish from. Again, you have to give us the caveats here. Ki hadamar abaye haitzachanta debav nahara sharia. Just like Abaye once explained that the tzachanta fish that's found in the Bav River is okay. So why was this kind of fish okay? My taima, derid fi maya b'hai dog tame came with the leisli chut hashidra lo matzi kaim. If you're going to say that the water is rushing and these are invertebrates, I believe is what you would call them, right? Without spines, so then they're not able to swim in fast waters because of that. So fakachazin de kai. That's not a good theory, because we see invertebrates that are able to swim in rushing waters. El mishum de malichi maya, maybe it's because it's salty water. The high dog tame came to lace like kleepy lo mutsi koi. Maybe because it's lacking its scales, these non-kosher fish, they're not able to stand the salty waters. But that's not a good theory either, because we see non-kosher fish that do exist in the salty waters. Ela mishum delo marbetinaihu dug tame. Rather, because this kind of water, apparently, the pitch and the whatever you want to call it, the material, the sediments, whatever is in there that forms the ecosystem of these lakes, they are not the type to produce non-kosher elements. The concern here is that these fish are inherently kosher, but there could be smaller, I don't even know if they're like smaller fish or parasites or something that will catch on to it, which are not kosher. So certain waters, which are more murky and maybe more still, they could produce the shkatzim v'ramasim that will get stuck in your otherwise kosher fish. So it just depends on the scenario. Amarabina, va'ina d'shavchi nahar, esan v'nahar, gam d'lahasim asira. And in fact, now apparently in this particular river, it's being fed by Nahar Esan and Nahar Gamda, and these bodies of water do produce these shkatzim ramasim, these problematic, whatever they may be, that do attach themselves to the kosher fish, and therefore it's forbidden. Point being is, when you give a psak, and this is important, when I give a dvar halacha many times, I have to make sure to lay out all of the nuances and say, just because X is mutter doesn't mean X is mutter in every single situation. And this is just a very great case in point. So, okay. So you guys are proud of me. I knew what invertebrates are because I've been watching some National Geographics recently. I think octopus are very, very interesting, by the way. They're apparently they're very intelligent. They know how to problem solve things. It's very impressive.
You should go to the Maritime Center in Norwalk. They have a few live ones there.
We have gone. I was very excited.
They're fascinating to watch.
Natalia loves the big shark tank over there.
That too,
She's like, shark, shark, shark. And like all the kids there are singing Baby Shark over there. It's beautiful, that Norwalk Aquarium. Beautiful place. Okay. Any questions before we get into the final stretch? Okay, here we go. So now we are coming back to our good friend Lovud, but we're not talking about Lovud vis-a-vis the schach. We're going to talk about Lovud more vis-a-vis the defanos, the walls. And we're returning to a case that we are hopefully relatively familiar with. Itmar, sichich agabe achsadra. Okay, so let me explain to you what the case looks like, and then I'll show you a picture just to remind us. You may even have a picture in Art Scroll. Is there a picture in Art Scroll of this case? Oh, so maybe someone who are you guys all using Art Scrolls? Does anyone have a picture? Do I need to show one?
There is no. Maybe it's on 18B.
Lonnie's showing us the. There we go. Look at Lonnie's video. Yeah. Right. So as you can see in the picture, there's walls from the buildings that form the courtyard that forms a U. But then if you look outward, distant a little bit from, I'm pointing, you don't even see where I'm pointing. you look a little distant from the actual walls of the building, there are these poles, which are less than 3 tefachim from each other. And we basically want to use the schach. We're not going to use the walls of the building to be the walls of the sukkah. We're going to use these poles and use lovin from them to form the sukkah, because we can't use the porch, the awning from the achsadra, because though that's not kosher schach. It's too thick to be used. So that's the case we're going to be dealing with in the Gemara. We got the picture more or less, hopefully. Maybe something I could clarify before we look inside. Toby, what do you think?
My only question is, why doesn't the concept of the bent wall work to make
very good. So Rashi says, we're taught very good, Toby. So Toby's like, wait, why can't we just use Dofen Akuma, which right. In the past we have. This is a case where it's more than 4 amos from the wall. Rashi says it's Yoser Me Arba Amos. Very good. That's right. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to start doing all these fancy halachic acrobatics, because Dofen Akuma, call it a day. So here it's where it's too far for Dofen Akuma, and now we're going to solve something else. But actually, let's look at the Gemara. So that's those poles that we identified earlier. Kishera, but she'ain la pitzimen. Let's say it doesn't have these pitzimen. So by Amar Kishera, Vavrava Amar Psula. Okay, Rava we can understand, because if you don't have those poles and you don't have Dofen Akuma, what are you relying on to form the walls of your sukkah? So by Amar Kishera, Amrinam pitikra yori vesosein. We say that the basically we imagine it's good achis essentially that the thickness of the schach essentially can now dip down and form the walls. It's like a whole legal fiction here. Rava amar psula lo amrinam pitikra yori vesosein. We don't apply this idea. And Rava challenges Abaye's assumption because amar le Rava la Abaye. You can even get rid of the middle wall and it should work. Meaning, you know how we need three walls and the tefach? Remember we discussed all this? So according to Abaye, I don't know, why don't I just have two walls? And we'll say that the schach essentially, right? I need two walls to just functionally hold up the schach. The schach will just bend over practically if I don't have two walls. Why do I need a third wall? Let's just pretend that the schach itself is going to, you know, the thickness of it, right? Let's say it's, you know, it's thick, and then it extends to the floor. So since that seems to be so absurd and obviously does not work based on everything we've seen, obviously you can't use this idea to be machshir nechsadru that way. Samarlei, Abaye says, modina lach bahi dehavali kemavoy hamafulash. I would concede to you in a case of a mavoy hamafulash, where it's literally just two walls and nothing else. But Abaye basically wants to have his cake and eat it. He wants to kind of take the benefits of both. On the one hand, the issue of the mavoy is that Rashi says, oh, thank you. Okay. So the issue here is that ba'asul kapanjir ulvikias rabin. What's the issue? The issue of a mavoy hamafulash, right? We're just talking about mavoys. That if a mavoy is all the way open and you could just pass through, anyone could walk through. It's not a privatized area if it doesn't have three walls. So here, Abaye is like, yeah, but in the case of the echsadra, even though we're not using the walls of the echsadra to serve as the walls of the sukkah, they still serve a functional purpose of blocking it off from being used as a public thoroughfare. So that solves the thoroughfare issue. And then you could use Pitikra Yori Vesosim in order to get the legal requirements, the technical requirements of having your three walls of the sukkah. As you can imagine, Rava's not convinced, and I believe we don't pasuk in this way, naturally. So thank you, sweetie. So that, but not to worry though. I don't think we're gonna go any further on the Amud here because we're already halfway through. I think next time we'll make maybe some headway into Yotes Amud Aleph. And okay, any questions? By the way, if you think this is like a really weird case and requires more analysis, if you look back in Yotes Amud Aleph, you see that Tosos over there, Sichi Chal Gabi Achsadra, that's halfway up. And you see that toast, and then if you turn back to Yotes Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, it's still the same Tosos. Going all the way down to like three quarters of the way down. So if you think there's more analysis required, Tosos agrees with you on that. But we'll have to save that one for another time. All right. Anyway, I will be away the Shabbos. I'll be up in Albany, God willing, visiting my friend who's a rabbi there, teaching some Torah, God willing. And I'll be back here, Mirza Shem, for Sunday morning Sefer Echinuch. That's the plan.
Okay, all right. Good.
All right.
Bring
thank
long
you.
Clothing.
Oh, yes. Good idea. I'll bring my fan with me.
you really may not need it up there.
Maybe not. Who knows? All right. Good Shabbos, guys. Take care.
Shabbos.
Bye.